Where are we getting it wrong?
I think you have to have a passion, and maybe the passion's not there, and you have to be creative. And if you aren't creative and you don't have that passion, there's not much point being there.
What with the kitty that comes in on a week to week, month to month basis?
Across sort of beauty, barbering, yeah. 27,000 over the academic year.
We always push scissors first because I think scissors are the most important. Yeah. As you can see from here today.
Oh no, the scissor work in this room is unbelievable.
Yeah, the hairs are getting longer now.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and I am here today with Fiona Warnock.
Hi there.
And Justine Higgins.
Hello, hello.
Who I've just met. I'm here at the Great British Barber Bash in Belfast, and I've just met these two amazing people from the Belfast Metropolitan College. I've spent this morning talking about education a lot, and most of you who've listened know that I have strong feelings about how we're bringing our young barbers into the industry. And there must be 800 people in this room at the moment, and probably 400 of them have been trained by this lady here. And everywhere I've gone in the last 20 minutes, everyone has said to me, "Oh, Justine, she trained me." So it seemed wrong not to introduce these two amazing people to you. Fiona is Justine's boss. And
Allegedly.
And so, yeah, well, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Really lovely to meet, because like I say, we only kind of met 10 minutes ago. And I just wanted us to have a conversation because, well, why are you having so much success with your barbering course here in Northern Ireland, where we're definitely struggling on the mainland? Who's first?
I'm going to go first because I'm looking in from the outside. It's Justine's passion, enthusiasm, caring. It's a full package from they come in. It's the training, teaching, also that little bit of, come on, you can do this, a little bit of mentoring. Pastoral care. Justine takes everything on board and throws everything at what she does.
Amazing.
So a lot of that success is because of this lady.
Hey, that's a very good CV start from your boss, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you, Fee. Thank you. About 10 years ago, one of the barbers called me Big Mama.
Right.
And I think from that past 10 years, I have been a Big Mama to them. And I do have a passion. I would be very creative. And it just doesn't stop, you know, with cutting hair. It's styling. It's pushing them forward. It's getting them into shops. It's getting them to know people. It's taking them over the water. It's getting the prizes over the water and bringing them home and putting them in the cabinet and letting them see. It's taking loads of photographs, promoting them, patting them in the back, hugging them and telling them how amazing they are. And if on a day they're not amazing, don't worry. We'll do better tomorrow. So basically, that's where I'm coming from.
So very supportive as well as nurturing, as well as delivering the skills that they need.
Yes, I think that's part of it as well, that caring side that goes above and beyond. Yes, you're here to get a qualification, but it's just that step further.
Yeah.
That character. That you can't buy, you can't train somebody to do that.
I met Justine 10 minutes ago and she's already my favourite person I've met in Belfast so far. Because she's made such an impression on so many people's life. I'm going to drill down on a few bits, and I'm doing this on purpose because I would like you to fact check me because I don't know this, and I want, please write in, message us, complain. Let me know if I'm getting this wrong. But Justine, you have your post-grad certificate.
Yes.
Which I've never heard of this in barbering education. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is what we do in the UK. Could you talk me through what the post-grad certificate is?
The post-grad comes on after your level 4 and your level 5 in your advanced hairdressing and barbering and advanced cutting and all of the above. So your PGCE is, shows you how to teach, shows you how to communicate with the kids, whether they are in a higher level or lower level. You could have kids from all different backgrounds, such as some of them can't write, some of them can read poorly, but you have them all in one class. So it teaches you how to teach them.
Yeah.
So if I was doing a theory class, I could maybe have a lesson where I'm doing a quiz and maybe some of the class might need the answers on a sheet and then put the answers into the quiz boxes, or the other ones maybe could do it. So it's sort of initiating the way of teaching that you can give them everything they need, sort of that differentiation between,
yeah,
you know, getting the answers. How do you get them? We'll help you get the answers.
But so ensuring that they've got that they're understanding rather than just answering a form correctly.
Yeah, I think it's about differentiation. Yeah. We know that not all learners are the same. Yeah. Education is not one size fits all. So our PGC is teaching us to recognise each individual's learning style.
You have kind of visual learners
exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And planning to deliver lessons to suit those different
types
of learning styles.
You understand what your group of learners need.
I find that barber and hairdressing, they're very creative. They may not be the brainiest students, but they have everything in their hands. But to get their qualification, they need both. So we work around ways of making sure that they have their paperwork for their certificate as well as their practical work. And then you have some students that mightn't be as good practically, but then their book work is amazing. They're coming in. We now have A-level students coming in, students with degrees, with guys that are coming off building sites that are coming in to do their maths in English so that they can move on ahead. It's just.
But this is what I was saying. I think if we go back 10 years before the kind of boom in kind of, or the change in men's grooming, and we go back to barbershops, short back and sides, leaving it on top, which may be more than 10 years, but you know what I'm 15. Saying. We now have, and that was definitely, you know, the kind of apprentice, you learnt your craft, you did that, that was that. And you had a steady flow of the people that would come in and do that. We're meeting so many people. I'm meeting now. We've got a guy I just met last week who's 29, you know, has always had jobs and now wants a career. And he sees barbering to be his career.
It is.
That is not what was being said 15, 20 years ago.
And that's the massive change.
And we're
change,
getting this amazing quality. And quality is the wrong word. We always had people. But now you've got people who are academically bright as well as creative. And I'm not sure we're delivering. Now, again, fact-checking. If I was to sign up and come on my course, your barbering course at Belfast Met, you're saying that I would do, is it 3 days a week full-time in college?
You would do 3 days a week full-time, and that would include English and maths if you don't have it.
And that's to like an MBQ level 2 or something?
An MBQ level 1. It could be a...
Level 2, I suppose, would be our main starting
as long
point
as you're
coming in to do
looking
their
looking that you're progressing in some way with English and maths, because the government expects that now. Yeah.
So they would work with you three days a week.
We also have a part-time night class where people that are already in the industry want to upskill. We have that as well for them. They, as I said, will do their English and maths. We have got theory work and we've got practical work. We have clientele that comes into the salon. So we have actually a running salon, a full massive
Urban Escape,
barbering salon.
Name check in there.
In the salon. And we have clients that come down and it's
and
run
so they're
as a
working
salon.
Real style, real time in a real store with real people.
Real people,
and
real
they're
everything.
Paying for it. And that money then goes into the colleges.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Although sometimes I would be quite lenient, as Fiona knows, that we wouldn't be as expensive as what the hairdressers or whatever would be. But at the end of the day, it's to make them realize what's happening. We also bring a lot of people from outside. As you can see, you said 400 in this place belongs to Belfast Met. I reckon out of the 800, you're probably talking 650.
Wow.
I've had that many hugs today. I'm squeezed alive. They're all Belfast Met. They've all come through Belfast Met. I'd say the majority of these students are Belfast Met. And look at them now. You're seeing the work they're doing today. You're seeing how confident they are.
I've been looking at the stage and, you know, the quality is right up there. And this is, you know, I'm interviewing and meeting people constantly. I'm having meetings and conversations with barbershop owners all the way around the country.
Yeah.
And this is a recurring theme, you know, and that's why I wanted to make sure it was out there.
Yeah.
And if this is what we're doing in the UK, then great. But if my 29-year-old was looking for a college course in London, they'd be doing a one-day release. And during that one day at college that I would be paying them for, they would be ticking boxes. You know, they learn very little. You know, they'll get maybe 8 to 10 live models, live haircuts in that whole course.
Well, I can promise you that when my students come out of their year, or if they go on to do their level 3, their 2 years, they are barbers. They are barbers you want to pay on the floor.
Yeah.
And they are barbers that are going to make you money because they're good.
But they're barbers that can't wait to get the qualification, to get that piece of paper, but to get out and work in industry because they want to start their career. And they see where the career can take them, coming back into teaching. You know, they see it as that long-term thing, not a short-term.
And also
so the funding, I'm only wanting to kind of answer questions in my head. So the funding for that, how do they get there? How does that three-day course?
So full-time courses, anything over 15 hours is free. They don't pay for that.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter what age you are, as long as you have the relevant 3 points to get onto the course, all FE courses are free.
And you don't have to be backed by a store. You don't have to have a job. Like with ours, they have to have 4 days a week with me and I pay for the fifth
day. Can I just say that we try to influence them to go into shops? We help them get work. I've had so many students that own their own barbers now. We try to push them in and get them in. Mm-hmm. We also push them towards, now with barbering, it's a big thing, the boats, the cruise ships. There's also filming, and, you know, we worked along with the Game of Thrones. We sent barbers down there. They were doing beards. They were doing, some of them actually got parts in. We're constantly getting them out there. Just not to say that you have to just be a barber. You can take this further. There's so many different directions.
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, but equally, for an older, a second or third career, that would allow you four days a week that you could go and work in a bar or a restaurant.
Absolutely.
So you could sustain your career while you're training.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. You see, this is why I'm saying I want fact checking, because I've not found this in the UK on the mainland. I've spoken to so many owners who haven't found this. Now, obviously, I'm not going to labour that point, but please come back to me and I really would love to hear this and I will respond. But your enthusiasm for the job seems like such a big part of it. And one of the issues that I feel happens is you can get a bit jaded after 19. Some people after 19 years in a college can get a bit jaded. Your skill set can be a bit out of date. Your delivery can be, I'm just waiting for, you know, retirement. You know, it can feel a bit end of career rather than career.
Yeah.
Whereas talking to you, it really doesn't feel like that at all. So the drive and enthusiasm, is that for the craft? Is that for the place of work? Is that for the students? Where are you getting that enthusiasm for? Well,
for the students.
Yeah.
It's all for the students. None of us would be in a job if it was not for the students. Mm. And they should be and are our priority.
Yeah. They're my boys.
I can see the enthusiasm and the energy from your students, because, like I say, every other person that talks to me has mentioned your name and the Met. Was that something that was there when you arrived 19 years ago, or have you seen this culture change? You've got a state of the art facility.
It was always there.
It was always there.
Absolutely, always there.
And so, how is the Met funded?
So our funding for FE courses are DFE. Now, as Justine said, there is a part-time option. If you are working and you want to come in one evening a week, there is the option to come in and do a qualification that way.
And that's longer. That's a 2-year course, one day a week or something. Or
1 year. It's one year course in the evening. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And most of the people here would be the full-time course, a part-time, or an even mix of the two?
Full-time.
Yeah. I work hard with them. It's not a heavy course, as I would call, because if they're in a barber's at all, 6-10 cuts to them is nothing. Mm-hmm. But it's getting the 6 good cuts.
Yeah.
But I find in Belfast Med, I find my students, there's a lot of competition between them, which I love.
Yeah.
And I do push. And the more they push each other, they all sort of work as a wee team. The work just comes out of them. They are really good and they can't wait to get more. It's like a sponge that's filling with water. Just keep feeding it and they'll keep taking in the water. Nice. And we do make it exciting. We bring in demos. We bring our past students in. We take them across the water. We get them out there.
And so on a course, how many people have you got in each class or each term?
Anything between 16 to 22.
22, wow. Yeah.
So they're hefty courses.
And I have 5 barbering classes and 1 night class.
Wow.
So that's
and
6
then
classes.
The time they're spending in Urban Escape.
Yeah.
How much of their time would be spent working as a live barber on clients in that, environment?
20 hours.
I know what you were saying about having to get those boxes ticked. And of course, that's part of it. We've got to get them the qualification. Sure. But what we would tend to do is once we get the theory side, the underpinning knowledge, the essential knowledge and the exams out of the way, then their timetable flips. So those theory classes become then practical time in the salon. So towards the end of the course, really, from February onwards, they would spend the majority of the time in Urban Escape in the commercial barbershop.
And so over the course of the year, I'm just doing numbers because it's the only way my brain works. During the course of the year, how many haircuts do you think your students would get through?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, you're talking, they have to do 6, right? So before they would even attempt to do the first cut, they probably would do about 20. Right before they do their first cut, so throughout the year,
they do on blocks.
Yes, yeah.
Pardon?
They do on
start off in training blocks. Yeah,
they start, but then we try and push them after Christmas onto real heads.
Right,
but again, that depends on the individual.
Yeah.
One size doesn't fit all. If someone comes in and they have a little bit of experience and they feel they want, we'll not start them. You know, we work with each individual and try and tailor it as much as we can to. Do they need encouraged or do they need sometimes reined in? But it's not one size fits all. Yeah. It is bespoke to the individual needs.
Where do you get your customers from?
Everywhere. I do flyers. I put them in the car park underneath the college. There's new buildings beside us, Citibank. We've got Titanic Hotel. We have flyers. I send students out.
And you have a booking system for the...
Yes, I don't Forest. Have to...
So of course. Yeah. But people can book online. So it's as a model or a client for a trainee, I'm treated exactly the same as I would be as a customer anywhere else. I can book online. I get a bill, albeit a cheaper bill, but I get a bill.
Yeah.
And so they're working live.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not always easy to get clientele because sometimes, as you know, if you're getting your hair cut, whatever, you
men
would get that cut every...
Men have got quite precious about their
barbers. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of people who just like, we just can't get the models.
Yeah, because men could get their hair cut every week.
Yeah.
Their fades cut every week. Their beards trimmed every week, every fortnight. So it's hard to keep it up, but we keep pushing.
We are a college, so we do have
students,
a massive campus. So we've got an audience are there. So
we do a lot out to... we go out to the homeless. We bring the students out to the homeless and work with the homeless. We also do open days where the students, school students are coming in. So I set a big corner up like what it is here. And I have my barbers working and they are cutting like school children's hair. So we're getting it out there that we can cut.
Yeah. So, I mean, a little bit like learning to fly. I've always worked on the idea that you need about 200 flying hours so that you don't stove your aeroplane straight into into the ground. And I think for hairdressing and barbering, I think it's much the same. You need about 200 hours of live cutting.
365 guided learning hours.
So, say again?
365 guided learning hours for our barbering.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're If 50% of those involve holding a pair of clippers, scissors, or a comb, you're easily there.
Yeah. Your sand clippers, we always push scissors first because I think scissors are the most important. Yeah. As you can see from here today.
Oh, no, the scissor work in this room is unbelievable.
Yeah, the hairs are getting longer now.
And on the stage, what we've just seen, there was very little scissor work, very little clipper work. A lot of it was scissor work.
Scissor work. If we can teach them how to use their scissors, clipper work comes easy. So I would focus very much on clipper work or scissor work before clipper work.
Cool. And so from a revenue stream, what does that bring into the college? What would the kitty that comes in on a week-to-week, month-to-month
approximately
basis? Approximately. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to fact check you too.
Across, across sort of beauty, barbering, 27,000.
£27,000 over what period?
Over the academic year.
Over the academic year. So that's putting a sizable chunk into your budget, which allows you to keep your facility top grade. And
absolutely. And if you do have time, do come and see what the facilities are.
Yeah, no, we really are going to try and make some time tomorrow.
And it would pay for trips over to the mainland to take the trophies home and, you know, different...
And
demos
and
coming in.
I mean, meeting, I've met lots and they speak about you and I've witnessed lots of hugging and, you know, I just queuing up for a bottle of water. I immediately was asked who. I said, I'm just about to. And of course, you'd happen to train them. What was his name, Zach?
Zach McCauley.
Zach McCauley. I had to mention him. And so are these guys all going out and getting a job? Are you seeing, when you're wandering around here now, are they having careers?
These guys are working. Yeah, they are working. And
a lot of these guys who have training
are competitors against each other.
Are people that Justine's trained?
Wow.
Yeah, they're all mine.
So I would say at least three of those stands
are mine.
Four are guys that Justine's trained.
Wow.
That's what I told you. I had to reapply my lipstick. I don't know how many times there. I'm squeezed and hugged that many times.
You know, it just seems, I mean, I don't want to be, I'm certainly not dismissing your enthusiasm and energy, which is amazing. But it doesn't seem, you've got it right. I mean, you know, the layout of the course being a three-day government-funded course that you've then got 4 days to go and supplement your income and survive. And it's a year, so you've got a real opportunity. By the sounds of things, once you're at least six months into the course, you've got a pretty good chance of going to work in a barbershop.
For sure,
As a kind of young and upcoming apprentice barber kind of thing, whilst you're getting your training elsewhere. So it just seems like you've cracked it here. And I'm literally looking at hundreds and hundreds of barbers who've come through the Belfast Met.
Yeah.
How do we go about bringing that here? Is it a matter of looking at, if I'm right that we don't have it, the post-grad certificate? Is it more about the running of the college? Where are we getting it wrong?
I think you have to have a passion. And maybe the passion's not there. And you have to be creative. And if you aren't creative and you don't have that passion, there's not much point being there.
And have you got, I mean, how about the rest of your team that work around you? Is your passion shared? Have you got a great team of people that run through this course with you?
I have a good team. I mean, I'm probably ready for retiring now. But they're just not there yet.
You're very aware of getting your team to a position that this isn't a legacy that dies. This is a legacy that continues.
This is a legacy that we have worked. I have worked
very
hard. I
think as well, the point you made, that would be a college-wide policy, is the student is at the centre of everything that we do.
Yeah.
It's not the other way around, and it can't be.
Yeah.
The most important person in that college is the student, because without them, there's not one of us in that place as a job.
That's really what we're seeing. Focus. We're seeing that the colleges aren't working because we've got a chicken and egg that the barbers need to be working in a barbershop that employs them to get the funding so they can get 1 day a week.
So much in industry post-COVID has changed in that these people are self-employed and they don't want to employ them. So as you said, we've got to get them 6 months ready to rent a chair. and start making a living.
Start making a living.
That's how we've got to move with what industry needs, but also what our students need.
Yeah. And the students in Belfast are amazing. Yeah. The students from the outlying countries that come here, like, you know, the country folk. I'm from the country, yeah. You know.
But equally, I mean, I've just met a guy, Alex, who was with us last week, that, you know, I'm looking at how we can, you know, he's 29. He's just retraining. As I said, you know, he's always had jobs. Now he wants a career. Mm-hmm. So I've been really heavily looking into how we do it.
Let's bring him to Belfast.
So he needs to find accommodation and apply for his level 3, and we'll see him in
September.
We'll
get him the student's grant. We'll look after him. We'll have him in a job
list to do, but it certainly has become
an option.
Well, I mean, like I say, I'm really hoping this brings some conversation from the audience. Because I'm absolutely thrown. It's been amazing to speak to a training facility that's really working. I know that there are good trainers and good educators on the mainland. I know there's some brilliant people out there. But as a system, it's not working. It's not producing barbers. It's not producing people who can work in a barbershop. And genuinely, I'm walking around this building surrounded by it. And these are so, for me to encounter this amount of college-trained, qualified working barbers on the mainland would take me more than the 15 minutes it'll take me to walk round by 100-fold, if not 1,000-fold. Ladies, you are doing the most amazing job.
Thank you so much. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much. Awesome
to meet you.
Thank you.
I'm genuinely thrown to have met and had this conversation. It's been really inspiring for me. I had to go and stand in the corner for 10 minutes to get my head round once I met them, because I think they've got such a great drive for this, and they're showing me and hopefully us that there is a way of doing this, and it's a funded course 3 days a week, an option to work elsewhere, and an ability of doing 300 and how many?
365.
365 guided learning hours. As we've agreed, generally, all of us in the industry will take 200 hours of hairdressing to qualify. Amazing. Thank you so much. I hope you found this as interesting as I have. And I really look forward to the debate. I've been Anthony Laban, and we've been the Noble Barber Podcast. Thank you for listening. Woo!
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone, or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.